السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're starting to record, so basically behave. Because your parents are going to listen to it. Okay.
Not everybody listens to it.
Okay, not everybody listens. And plus other people can hear this recording, so that might be awkward.
Okay.
Now we're going to continue the subject that we started last time. Who remembers the subject of last time?
Wait, really quickly.
Allah create Bob and he can't carry people.
Yes. Did you guys find out the answer?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
No.
The answer is no?
Yeah.
Then Allah can't create it.
Oh.
No,
he can't. Because
you can't. We say that he can do anything.
Yeah.
Right? So, if he cannot create the rock, then here's one thing that Allah doesn't know how to do, or doesn't, is not able to do. Go ahead.
It's yes and no.
Go ahead, what's yes and what's no?
So yes is that he can carry the, like, he can carry it, and...
Okay, go ahead.
Or maybe it's the same way as the way he doesn't exist in the toilet, because it's simply not appropriate for him to do so.
Takbir.
Okay, she's been in your, like, Quran class last year and the year before that.
Yeah, okay.
Wait. Hold
That's
on.
Right. So, I'm going to repeat it to you. There is some Allah...
Is it yes or no? I can't remember.
Well, I'm going to explain it right now. Allah's will. Things are either appropriate for His Majesty. Lina, appropriate is one P or two?
No.
No. Make sujood sahw. Is that right?
Honey, is that right?
What about
it's next week?
Okay, put it. So the ones who say is Allah does everything is wrong. Allah will not. Allah wills. Allah has a will, and He will not. His will not make him do inappropriate things. For example, can I ask you something about Allah? Can Allah lie?
No.
No. He won't. Because it's not appropriate for His Majesty. Right? You got it?
Yeah.
So, can Allah... Yeah. Can Allah cheat?
No.
Well, Allah can cheat, but it's not appropriate.
Yes, I mean, it's not appropriate. He can do anything, but not appropriate for His Majesty. Like, can Allah allow, for example, somebody to beat him up?
No.
Somebody to kill him? No, it's not appropriate for His Majesty. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Okay? So, if anybody tells you that Allah eats, you say Subhanallah. Means Allah is better than that.
Who else can think up of any other examples?
That what?
That are not appropriate for Allah.
That is not appropriate to him, for Him, but He can do anyways.
I mean,
but He's not going to do it, but He could do it.
Drinking,
sleeping.
Kill people.
Drinking, sleeping. That's right. So,
kill people, technically, he already does that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the story, I'm going to tell you the story about the angel of death, and after we finish this. So, you understand now? So, carrying this rock, creating this rock, okay, is not appropriate for His Majesty. Why? Because if he can't carry the rock, that he's a force, stronger than him. So it's like he's creating a super god. It's like he's creating his own super god, like his own boss or something like that. Because it would be in control of him, that rock. He can't do it. Okay? Basically, it's not appropriate for his majesty. Somebody says Allah has a son, say Subhanallah. It means Allah better than that. If somebody tells you that Allah came down to earth and he lit a bunch of criminal thugs, beat him up, and beat him up really hard.
That's
really, really hard.
Thinks.
Yes. Watch the movie called The Passions of Christ. He was really, really tortured to an unbelievable level. And then he was killed on the cross. If I tell you that Allah did that, then what do you say? Subhanallah. Meaning that Allah is better than that. If you think that Allah did this, then you have a low image of Allah. You have a what? Low image of Allah. Muslims are supposed to have a perfect image of Allah.
Except for nobody's perfect, so you're supposed to, except for, like, you should always strive to be, like, become perfect, but it's not like you're going to magically become perfect. Yeah.
So, now, let's move forward to, I want to tell you the story about the angel of death. Just because she talked about Allah that kills somebody. So let me talk to you about the angel of death. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is in a hadith narrated by the Prophet. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to create humans, he wanted to get pieces of the earth. He wanted to get pieces of the earth to create different races. Like to have all the DNAs in different races. So he wanted to get different clays from the ground so that we have different DNAs. And we have the white, the yellow, the black, the brown, the tall, the short, you know?
Actually, tall and short doesn't apply to, unless you're Filipino.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So,
because if you're Filipino, it's just in the genetics that you're short.
The point here is clear, right? So he wants to get pieces of the earth, okay? So that pieces of the clay, all right? So here we go. Can Allah bring those pieces of clay himself?
Yes.
Yes, he can. But why didn't he do it himself, and was asking angels to go do it?
Because it's appropriate for his majesty.
Actually, it's appropriate for his majesty anyway. He can just bring the pieces of the clay, just like order them, they come by themselves.
Shouldn't he handle it?
No, shouldn't.
So we can understand?
Exactly. He has a wisdom, okay? But he wants us to understand his wisdom. So we appreciate his wisdom, all right? So here we go. So Allah asked the first angel, you go get it. So as soon as this angel was flying down towards earth, and when he was landing, the earth said, Ya Allah, the earth got scared. Ya Allah, protect me from angel A, for example.
We don't know the angels.
So angel A.
Angel H.
Angel, don't get stuck on this. Angel A, okay, heard the earth asking for Allah's protection. Guess what Angel A did? He got frightened and he went back to Allah. So Allah asking him in front of everybody, why did you bring the clay? He said, Ya Allah, you know better. I didn't. Now why Allah's asking? Allah, would he ask Allah, why Allah is asking him in front of the angels? Allah knows the answer, right? So he's asking him, so the answer comes out of his what? Mouth. You got it? Allah wants...
Really quickly, why do you think Allah wants to, like, even though Allah knows everything, why would he want to ask the question?
No. So that we learn the answer. So we hear the answer. Right? Not that Allah wants us to hear the answer. Okay? So he asks and the angel. Did you, Allah wanted Allah in this case wants the people to hear the answer from the angel. Okay? Allah knows the answer, but He wants the answer to come from where? From the angel. Yeah. Just like when Prophet Musa had the stick. Then Allah said, what do you have in your right hand, Musa? It doesn't take a genius to figure out that's a stick. But Prophet Musa said, it's a stick that I use to lean on and to shepherd with. So Allah wanted Prophet Musa to say that. So we hear from the mouth of Prophet Musa that it is a normal stick. So what? A normal stick. Because a normal stick, you use it for
shepherding. And when we're reading the Quran, we're not like confused. Because it would be weird if it was like suddenly there was like a stick in his hand. That would be
weird. So Allah wants us to hear from the mouth of Prophet Musa that it is a stick. Normal stick. Then He said, throw it. And then you know the rest of the story. The bottom line is that Allah does that so that we learn His wisdom. So that we learn what? His wisdom. So now the angel said, Ya Allah, you know better. You know better. I couldn't. They always say, you know better. Because you know better, and then they give the answer.
I forget if it was the assembly or the class. Who remembers how Allah sent an angel to Prophet Musa when he was getting thrown into the fire? That was the assembly, right?
Prophet Ibrahim.
Prophet Ibrahim, when he was being sent into the fire, Allah sent an angel, even though Allah knew what Musa wanted.
What Ibrahim?
Ibrahim.
Whoever he was.
Yes.
I'm getting very confused.
Well, yeah, he knew, but he wanted us to hear the answer. He wants us to learn the answer. So, from who? From his mouth or the mouth of Prophet Ibrahim? From the mouth of Prophet Ibrahim, not from Allah. Okay? So that we learn the answer. So now here comes Angel B. Hey, you, go get us some pieces, cut pieces from the ground. The ground, the earth, got scared again and said, Ya Allah, protect me from Angel B. So as soon as Angel B heard that, what did he do? Like his friend. What his friend did? His friend Angel A did what? Got scared that the earth is seeking protection from who? Allah. And got scared and went back to Allah. He didn't do the job. So Allah asked him in front of the angels again so that they can hear the answer. Why didn't you bring it? He said, Ya Allah, the earth, and you know better, the earth asked for your protection against me. And I didn't dare to attack the earth. You got it? So he did not dare to attack the earth because he heard the earth asking for Allah's protection.
Just shows how,
here we go. Then Allah sent an angel called Azrael. Azrael is the angel of death. But at that point, he wasn't known to be the angel of death. He wasn't selected yet. So Allah chose him and he said, Azrael, go down, do the job. So Azrael went down to earth. Now here is the difference. So again, the earth said, I ask Allah protection from Azrael. So Azrael said, Allah gave me a job. Okay, I'm going to do it. Whether you ask for protection, whether you don't ask for protection, I'm not disobeying Allah. I am going to do it.
So there were two angels before him who did that?
Several angels.
Several.
Yeah. But I'm just getting to the point. So he started, now he attacked the earth and he started cutting pieces. Ouch! Oh! And the earth is like, ouch! Oh! Ouch! Stop! You know? Now, of course, that's a joke. Now, he goes back to Allah and he says, Ya Allah, here we go. So Allah said, I am appointing you as the angel of death. You see the wisdom here, why Allah picked him up? Because the angel of death is supposed to pull out the souls from whomsoever is dying. So even if he's a good believer.
Christians call it the grim reaper, and supposed to be made out of bones and be terrifying. That's what the angel of death is.
The angel of death is the grim reaper in Christianity.
Is what?
The grim reaper.
What's that?
The Grim Reaper is this like skeleton guy who wears like a black hood.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he has this like scythe thing that he uses like to cut.
Like a
death thing? Yeah. Yeah.
There's...
Like he's an angel of death, except for he's more of hell. And that's what Grim Reaper is, what Christianity thinks.
In Japanese,
yes.
They...
Here's the problem of taking pictures, of drawing pictures of Allah. If I tell you, what's the problem of drawing a picture of Allah? No. Let me give you a big, big, huge problem that will happen if I ask you to draw the picture of Allah.
Like, for example, how would you think Allah would look like?
I don't know.
Like,
is he going to, when we draw his picture, are we going to draw? No talking. No talking. We draw the picture of Allah. We are going to draw him like what? Chinese looking?
Yeah.
Okay. African looking? Arab looking?
Light.
Bin Laden looking?
Good.
Just a second.
Arabs.
I'm going to...
During the time in Baghdad, the Europeans weren't so dark. Yeah. Baghdad was one of the top civilizations in the whole world. And Ellen said... From where I come from, it's barbaric
as
well. They completely made fun of it. Racist.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
well, she does have an reason to be angry. Judging the way
you know, when we ask
it,
huh?
You're basically like judging what you think, how it looks like. You don't know for sure. It's kind of rude.
But here's the problem. It causes race war between races. Because right now, by the way, Allah looks like... The statue of Allah in the Christian church looks like what? White Caucasian, right?
Jesus.
Yeah.
With like...
Jesus is right, white. White Caucasian with blue eyes. So, I wouldn't... I wouldn't worship a white Caucasian God. I want God to be like... looks like Arab, looks like Egyptian. You understand the war that would happen? I'm just thinking. You understand the war that is happening? Now, did anybody draw Allah in Christianity in the black churches? Did they draw Allah as a black person?
The thing is that if you try to like portray Allah as you think of it, people would be like, no, he looks like this. And then he would look like this. He would be this race. He would have this eye color. He would like...
A lot of people, they draw him with a beard.
Like that really weird, long, wavy beard. It's really weird.
Yeah. Any shape you do, you'll have trouble. So you're really going to get in trouble.
And considering Allah is endless, this is how he would kind of look like.
No idea. You know?
I mean, like, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, you got the point here or not? You got the point? So drawing a picture of Allah will get you in deep trouble. Go ahead. Race war.
And this is in one of the pictures, during the Renaissance pictures, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Jesus, yes, but they also gave him some sort of breasts or something.
What?
It's just twisted, I'm serious. One of the latest uncovered masterpieces, it's called Masterpiece, it's Jesus, the Prophet Jesus, depicted as God, of course, to Christians, and then they're saying it's a work of Leonardo. And it's supposed to be a huge deal because it's Leonardo da Vinci, but they actually made God look like he had breasts and is a male. Come on, it's
yeah,
just...
genderist.
It's just...
Why not like a woman? Genderist. And you know
okay,
what?
Yeah. That's like twisted, even coming out of like.
Yeah, yeah. See, yes. Now even more than that. You know, you're going to have genderist, gender war.
Focus.
To
draw.
Oh, that's shirk. You don't draw Allah at all. Okay. Yeah. But if it's an illustration, like I draw a circle and say this is Allah, this is just like, you know, like abstract. Abstract. Do you now understand the wisdom of Islam in not allowing anybody to look like to draw Allah? Because they're going to have trouble. You know, one time, what is going on here? Go ahead.
Here in the mosque, that's why they don't draw illustrations of any.
Exactly. Exactly.
They just put like designs.
Exactly. So that they don't end up with this war. Now, I had a feminist one time. I was a professor for 9 years. So there was, I was answering questions about Islam to people. So there was this feminist girl walking to me and says, every time you talk about God, you say he. Why don't you talk and say she?
Because in Arabic, there's no it. There's just he.
Yes, I did.
Every time.
Yeah, I did say something. I did say something nice. I said, okay, we also say he about the shaitan. So we say he about Allah and we say he about the shaitan. Okay, here's the deal. We say she about Allah and she about the shaitan too? So just was like,
no.
She laughed. She figured out that she's ridiculous. So she laughed and she stopped. All right? So anyway, Allah said, I appoint you as the angel of death. Because angel of death will attack you and grab your soul. Like, angel of death, by the way, he does not take the soul of prophets before they allow him. Like, he would ask permission. Well, he will ask permission for the prophets. May I take your soul? Would you like to stay or would you like to? He said, the prophet says, I like to stay or I like to go. But usually, prophets, all of them, they say, I would like to go. Because who wants to stay in this life as compared to the next life? Especially for a prophet. You know, he's going to highest place in Jannah, right? So, okay, here is the... Otherwise, angel of death doesn't seek our permission. Do? Other than prophets, angel of death will not... Huh?
Yeah, that fell.
You can hear and then you can draw illustrated drawing about what we're saying.
Yeah.
So, first one, right? Selection of the angel of death, right? Pictures of God. So that we know the points that we talked about. Okay? So now guess what the angel of death did? He cried, started crying so hard. So Allah asked him in front of everybody. Allah knows why is he crying, but he asked him, why are you crying? He said, Ya Allah, people will hate me and curse me. People will hate me and curse me. And says, we hate you. May Allah curse you. Why did you take the soul of my son? Blah, blah. So he said, people will hate me and curse me. So Allah said, I am going to cover you with natural causes of death. So people will absolutely, will not remember you at all. So you say, why did this guy die? In a car accident. See? You didn't say from the angel of death, you say in a car accident. Why did this guy? Heart attack. Right? People don't remember the angel of death at all. Go ahead.
But it would be completely unfair if they would hate him and curse him. To me, I think it's just that, okay, he's coming to take my soul. Yes, I'm slightly disturbed because I won't know exactly when. Everyone would be happy if they knew when, but
no, actually, no. Trust me, everybody would be very sad to know when they are going to die. I'll give you an example. If I come to you and say you have 2 years to live.
Oh, yeah, I
saw. Okay. That's a mercy from Allah.
Well, how about that story about the Sulaiman?
Yes,
him.
Yes.
That story.
Yes. So basically, the question is...
Yes. And yeah, so there's this website, and you just like type a bunch of information, and then it tells you when you're going to die.
What? I'm supposed to die when I'm 83 years old.
That's like impossible.
What? I'm supposed to die when I'm 83.
You know, it is, you know, things are going to go crazy. If people know when they're going to die, things are going to be crazy. And people will be very sad and very depressed. It's going to be a big problem. It's a mercy from Allah. It's a mercy from Allah that He's not telling us when we're going to die. At the same time, we need to be ready all the time.
How would you spell the name of the angel of death?
Israel. Like Israel.
Is that creepy?
Like Israel. Okay, so now let me also tell you about another story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to learn about. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Angel Jibreel to bring, he wanted Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be his guest. to be his guest. Okay? So now, why did Allah want Prophet Muhammad to be his guest in particular in this particular time? Because it is the same day he was stoned out of Ta'if. You know that the Prophet was stoned out of Ta'if?
What's Ta'if?
It's a place in the Arabian Peninsula.
It's the second largest place in Egypt.
In the Arabia.
Yeah, in the Arabia.
At that time.
Keep on stealing words from my mouth.
So basically, why he was stoned out of a Ta'if, right? And when he was stoned out of a Ta'if, he was in severe pain. And his wife died and his uncle died. So, the year of sorrow. And he went to Ta'if and he got stoned out. Now Allah wanted to comfort him. So Allah said, you're my guest tonight. And he sent him, first of all, a burak, which is a miraculous animal, okay, that goes with the speed of light.
Oh yeah, and also what happened that day was the shaitans became jinn, like Muslim jinn, because they heard Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam outside of the town reading Quran, and that made them Muslim, and they like spread the word among the jinn, and that converted some of the jinn.
So and also,
a day.
So also the slave Addas. The slave Addas. There's a slave called Addas. He became a Muslim on this day. The Prophet was resting near a farm, on the entrance of a farm of grapes, that was owned by bad guys. So the Prophet was all bleeding and he had a tough time. So they felt sorry for him. So they sent the slave. He said, take some grapes and give it to this guy. Like this way. So the slave was Addas. So he brought the grapes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet said, Bismillah, before eating. So the Addas said, where did you get this word from? Where did you get this from? He said, Allah. And then he said, I was living in a town called Niwa in Iraq. Town called Niwa. And the people over there say Bismillah. He said, oh, town Niwa is the town of my brother Jana, which is Idris. Okay? So he's the town of my brother Idris. So the guy said, Addas said, huh? How do you know about Prophet Idris? He said, he's my brother. I'm a prophet and he's prophet too. So he kissed his hand and he became a Muslim. You got it? So he got a group of jinn becoming Muslims. And now, those group of jinn, where did he come from? Basically, when Prophet Muhammad was born, Allah guarded the heavens. Before Prophet Muhammad was born, any shaitan can sneak on the angels and listen to them. And then they use this knowledge to spread corruption. Okay? Now, after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, Allah guarded the skies as a gift for us, so that evil goes down. The amount of evil
because
goes down.
Shaitan used to spy on it and use it to, like, for their own needs by being like, "Oh, if you pray to these gods, it's gonna rain on like Tuesday," and then he knows it's gonna rain on Tuesday because of
his spied it. He spied on it. Yes. Yeah, go ahead. So here, the jinn, when this happened, they say, what's going on? So they said something like great or something big has happened.
And they didn't notice it until Prophet Muhammad was like 43.
Yeah, exactly. So they started searching the earth. They said, we'll search the earth inch by inch. To find out what happened. Why Allah did that.
What exactly did the jinn do before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time?
It's not like they didn't influence people before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
They just
went around and spread evil. They're like, oh, I made a husband and wife fight against each other today.
Yeah, evil business.
Evil business.
Yeah.
Because all
they
were
just like
whispering.
Playing tricks, or they were bored or something. Is that why they did that?
No, no. They said something very big must have happened for Allah to guard the skies, so that we can't spy anymore. If they spy, they get a shooting star, a shooting star that burns them. So now they searched the earth inch by inch, and they kept doing that until they came. And they heard the prophets reciting Quran. They say, that's it. Now we know. And they listened to him and they became Muslim jinn. Not only become Muslim jinn, but they went back to the people, jinn folks. And then they preached Islam to them and Quran to them to make them Muslim jinn. So Allah's saying, okay, if people of Ta'if stone you out, here we go. They have Addas, became a Muslim, and a group of jinn became Muslims too. All right? So, now back to the story of the when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam traveled.
We're still on this one.
Okay.
Okay. And so what happened was, well, first jinn were
can you draw it all and then explain it? So, finish drawing it and then explain it. In the meantime, I'll be talking.
Okay.
So, here we go. In this trip, Allah also wanted something. Allah wanted to give him the prayers. Allah wanted to give him the five times prayers, okay? So, to show you the importance of the prayers, every other thing that was every other worship, every other deed, okay, that will get us to Jannah, it was told to the Prophet when he was still on earth, right? But except the prayer, Allah like called the Prophet Muhammad to heaven. That to show you the importance of the prayer, by the way. It's like this: if I am king and there is something normal to talk about with my subordinates, I just go on the phone and talk to them, hey, do this and this and that. But if it is something seriously important, then what do? I tell them, come to my office. Then when he comes to his office, he tells them, do this and that. So the task is so serious, right? Same thing with the prayer. All good deeds were told to the Prophet when he was on earth. But, except the prayers.
Servant's name.
Addas. You got it? So Allah called him and then when he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah said, after welcoming him and things like that, Allah said, go tell your people that they have 50 prayers every day. How many?
50.
So the Prophet said, yes, I will deliver the message to them. So when he was going down, he met who? Prophet Musa, in the way. So Prophet Musa asked him, okay, what are you doing? He said, I went to Allah, and he assigned 50 prayers to my people, to the Muslims. He said, 50 prayers? Do you think they will do 50 prayers? Ask me. I have been struggling with the children of Israel. They give me a hard time. There's no way your people are going to be, different. So, go ask Allah for a reduction, to reduce it. So Prophet went back to Allah, and he said, Ya Allah, and you know better. Prophet Musa said that, and my people needs a reduction, a break. So he said, fine, 30.
Sorry.
So, Yarhamukum Allah. So, 50, 30. So, again, he took it, Allah told him 30. So he went down, he met Prophet Musa. Prophet Musa said, 30 is too much, go back. So he went back to Allah. Allah made them 10. Okay? I don't know the sequence of numbers. I'm just saying, for example, 10. So he went back down to back to earth. He met Prophet Musa. Prophet Musa said, 10 is too much, go ask Allah for a reduction. So he went to Allah. Allah said, 5. And the ones who do them, they get the reward of 50. How is that? Because every good deed is multiplied by what? 10. This is why when you do 5 prayers, you get the reward of what? 50. And this is why when you fast Ramadan and 6 days in Shawwal, you get 360 hasana. I'm sorry, it counted 360 days of fasting. Why? Ramadan is 30 days times 10 becomes what? 300. And then the 6 days in Shawwal times 10, they become what? 360. You got it? Do you see that Allah is generous? So Allah said,
wait,
5 and
6 days multiplied by day would equal 60, not 360.
Yes, we have 30 in Ramadan and 6 in Shawwal, so it becomes 360. So now, here we go. He went back to Allah, and Allah said 5. The one who does the 5 takes the reward of the 50. And then he goes down. He again meets Prophet Musa. And he said, 5 is too much. I tried with the children of Israel, which are the Hebrews. I tried with them, and this was like absolutely too much for them. He said, I am so shy to go back to Allah. That's it. I'm not going back to him. He said, 5, and the one who does it takes 50. So I can't do more than that. So, and then he left it down to earth. Now the question is, did Allah change his mind?
No.
Now, why Allah did this kind of a movie or something like that? That looks like a movie, right? Sounds like a movie or sounds like a play or sounds like a game or whatever. Why Allah did that?
Why did Allah do that? Rasul, why did Allah?
He made it 50, 30. Why didn't he just tell him 5 from the beginning? Why is this show?
Tell me your thoughts.
Go back, come.
Okay, what do you think?
Yeah.
Think of.
Hey,
go ahead.
Why didn't he just say
5 from the beginning? Why is this show? Go ahead.
Because then they'll appreciate that they only have to do 5, like they don't have to do 50. Because if they start with 5, then they'll be like, keep putting it down, and then like when he keeps it at 5, they'll be like, oh my God, it's too much. But then,
see, Allah could have said 5, that's it. Okay? And you do them, you get a reward of 50. But why did he make it happen like that? Again, so that, I heard an answer here that was right. So that we appreciate his mercy and kindness. You got it?
Appreciate.
Yeah. Again, Allah wants to do things so that we know him. We know him. Why does Allah want us to know him? Because he wants to give us Jannah. Allah is looking, Assalamu alaikum. Allah is looking for a way, sit up. Allah is looking for ways to give us Jannah. Allah is not out there to set traps for us. No, he's out there finding, like, he wants to send you to Jannah. He wants you to help yourself anyway. Like, when he sees that you're praying, he's pleased. Why is he pleased? Because he wants to give you Jannah. And he's pleased that you're seeking Jannah. But if you turn your back and away from him, okay, he's a rich king. If you suit yourself, if you turn yourself away from him. But he is pleased. That's why I say, okay, please Allah and paycheck. Right? We pray that we can please Allah. Please Allah, meaning do something good. So Allah is pleased because he wants you to Jannah. He wants you to go to Jannah. And he hates anything that distracts you from Jannah. But in order to be tested, these things that take you away from Jannah has to be there. So basically, that is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making it happen this way.
We and talk to who was the person who died in heaven?
Oh, Prophet Musa.
Musa.
Yeah, no. And he met him in like the 6th heaven, I think. So put it between two brackets. It's like not confirmed if it's the 6th heaven or the 3rd heaven. I mean, I'm not sure which heaven did he meet. Because when Allah elevates people, he elevates them to higher levels. Okay? All right. So, back to the thing that we started last time. Why Allah created his opposite. Okay? It's because so that we can appreciate him. Okay? If you suffer from the meanness, people are mean, right? Kids are mean with each other. And then people are so, some people are so mean. All right? So when you suffer this meanness, then you appreciate what? Kindness. When you suffer from injustice and unfairness, then you, when they'll tell you that Allah is fair, then you appreciate. Yes. So you appreciate the qualities of Allah by the opposite. That's right. Did you know Prophet Muhammad, how much work did he do to make the earth a good place? How much did he do effort? A lot of efforts to make the earth what?
A good place.
Sorry. A good place. Now, why is this effort? It's because now you appreciate when the earth is good. All right? Otherwise, you know, you will not be able to recognize it. Now, if I tell you that Allah breathes, Will you be impressed about that?
No.
You know why?
Everyone does that.
Yeah. There's no challenge in it. Okay? There is no challenge.
You're not unique if you like breathe.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a very good answer. You're not unique, like something easy. Okay?
I breathe, I'm special.
Yeah. Do you know the angels' worship of Allah is like breathing? Like is Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. That's their breathe. When they breathe, like when you breathe, it's like we're snoring.
Yeah.
But when the angels breathe, they breathe like this. Subhanallah, 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 Alhamdulillah. It is it's like something that they don't have a choice over. You know what I'm saying? Something that they don't get to choose. It's like that. Now, why aren't them? Why don't they commit evil? Is because
they don't have free will.
They what?
They don't have any free will. They can't like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They
okay,
don't
so
have
it's
temptations.
50, 30, 15, and then 5.
Like say from 50 to 5, because the middle numbers I don't remember. You'd like say, like give examples of numbers. You got it? You got that part? So, if everything is just and fair, and I tell you, Allah is just and fair, you tell me. So what? Everybody's just and fair. It's natural. Now, the angels, they're not being challenged. We are challenged by lower desires and temptations and thoughts of the shaitan, whispers of thoughts of the shaitan. When I say whispers of the shaitan, I mean the thoughts. The shaitan puts evil thoughts in your brain.
They don't have temptations. So.
They don't have temptations. So why would they do evil? What is the motive? They don't have any single motive for it to... Actually, they have all reasons that makes them not to do any sins. Because they are closer to Allah than us. Okay? Allah, the more dirty you are, the more you're away from Allah.
The dirtier you are, the less purified, the less...
The distance, the more distance. So the distance between you and Allah will shrink if you're a good guy. Okay? Will expand if you're a bad guy. You got it? Because Allah is the purity. Allah is the purity itself. Okay, so you're not pure, so you're away from Him. You want to purify yourself, you go up, 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 up. You got it? So that's why they say, get closer to Allah. Okay. Get closer to Allah. Why Allah created the shaitan? Is to for appreciate Allah by contrast. Okay. Why the angels are not doing... All right, you guys can go. Okay, don't forget the homework is to summarize and send it by email.